Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Panning the Stream. My name is Bianca Reichert, and sitting across from me is one Dan J. Reichert. Say hello, Dan.
That's such a softer, more pleasant-sounding voice to start a podcast with. I like that.
Yours is pleasant and soft and sweet.
I'm abrasive and dumb.
I don't know, give it a few minutes. I have a lot of liquid coming from my schnoz right now, so I'm sure that will taint the sound of my voice over time.
Ah, you sound great.
Thank you.
What's up?
You know, we watched some anime this week. Or is it technically anime if it's Western?
I don't know.
Is it Western? I don't even know.
That's the thing. I hesitate. I think anime typically refers to Japanese
it's
animation.
Just Japanese. And I'm sure we'll get some corrections if that's the case.
Based on a Japanese video game series.
Oh, that's
so
true.
So there you go. You
that's
got true. That
it
much.
Definitely has Japanese influences.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah, it was Castlevania.
It does now. Would it technically have Japanese influences if it was a Japanese interpretation of a Western text?
What text? Wait, Dracula?
Wasn't it based on what the fuck is it called?
Bram Stoker.
Yeah,
I guess I assume Dracula. Well, I'm always confused by what Dracula is because there was a guy named Vlad the Impaler that, like, I think turned into Dracula, but I don't know if Vlad the Impaler was a real historical figure that they based Dracula on or if he is just fully in the fiction. Like, Dracula was this other made-up character beforehand. I'm not sure.
Interesting. I honestly, and this is a real Dan Reichert moment for me, but I didn't know Vlad the Impaler wasn't a real guy. I didn't know he was fictional.
I
thought it was some crazy general who impaled people all the time.
That's the thing. I don't want to say, like, I know it all. Because he could be a real guy, he could be purely fiction.
Can you imagine
no
impaling so many people that you're known as the Impaler?
It was tough times back then.
Can you explain Transylvania to me?
I think Transylvania is a real place in Romania, maybe?
Okay. And I think that's where all the vampires live.
I think in
is that
the
where
fiction,
Rocky Horror Picture Show takes place?
I've never seen that movie. That has never appealed to me at all. I know people love that movie. Every time I've seen a clip of it, I'm just like, I don't know. I like Tim Curry a lot. I like Susan Sarandon. Meatloaf's fine. But I don't – this does not look like a good movie to me at all.
It's interesting that your mind immediately goes to the movie because my mind goes to the plays.
Was it a play first?
I don't know which came first, but when I think of it, I think of the plays because they're like there's so much audience involvement in those, and there's always some kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show production going on in any like local theater.
Oh, I thought that was at the movies where they do stuff and they throw stuff at the screen and all that shit.
I think they probably do both. I know it from the plays.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. I think my brother Dan played drums for a Rocky Horror Picture Show production.
Oh, interesting.
In Jersey at some point.
Interesting.
Yep. So, right. Castlevania.
So, Castlevania. Yeah. So, here's the thing. I think Castlevania in the pantheon, I don't know what pantheon means, but I think it means like a big group of things.
It means like a range of pants from like black to khaki.
Okay, then we're correct. All right. So, in the pantheon of video game properties, I really think Castlevania is just one of the like coolest. Mm-hmm. And when I say coolest, I mean specifically in that kind of like style type of cool where it's
totally.
Just like this fucking cool like assortment of bad guys. You're
very,
going through
like,
this
gothic.
Yeah, going through this big labyrinthine castle to fight.
Labyrinthine?
Is that how you pronounce
that
word?
I think it's labyrinthine.
Labyrinthine. That's
maybe,
right.
Maybe I'm wrong. I've never actually said that word out loud.
I haven't either. I've read it a million times. We're like 4 minutes into this podcast, and we've established that we don't know anything about anything. Awesome. But I know about Castlevania, the video game series. Mm. I have always been more of a fan of the Metroidvania ones that, you know, they were more straightforward for a long time on the NES and going forward to Genesis and PC Engine and all that stuff. And then they turned into kind of the Metroid-style thing with Symphony of the Night, all the DS and
Symphony
Game Boy
of the Night
games.
Is the one and only Castlevania game I've played, and I played it on Xbox Live Arcade. I think I told you that.
Yeah, you have played my favorite Castlevania then.
That's the only one I've played.
I think all of those like Metroidvania ones after it on GBA and DS were very, very good. Mm. I thought the first Lords of Shadow was good. That was kind of a like, you know, 3D action game. They tried several 3D ones, and Lords of Shadow is the one that I liked.
And you're about to play Rondo of the Night, right?
Rondo of Blood.
Rondo of Blood.
Yeah.
Rondo
so they
of
just,
the Night.
Well, they just put out that thing, the Castlevania Requiem, I think it's called, on PS4, where it is Symphony and Rondo. And I did try to hook up
I remember
my Wii U
the,
and all
yeah,
that shit.
It was a whole production it's to play this game that you played for like 15 minutes before.
You have to plug in a fucking like sensor bar to play Castlevania. It's like, so when they announced this PS4 thing, it's like, oh, thank God, I can just play this with like a normal controller and not have and I can put the Wii U back in the, you know, closet
so
forever.
So prior to the Wii U, though, was there any way to play this game that was practical?
It's a confusing thing. Like, I think there is a Super Nintendo game called Dracula X that is based on it, but it is not really considered, like, the way to play it. I think...
What do you mean based on?
I think it's, like, a port, basically. Oh, okay. But people don't think it's a great port. I could be wrong on all this, but... As far as, like, playing it properly, like, the Wii U had it on the Virtual Console. Okay. And so that is one of the proper ways you can play it here in North America. But now that it's on PS4, it sounds like we're kind of good to go. Yeah. So once I'm done with the billion games that are going on right now near Game of the Year time, I will get to Rondo Blood, and I will beat that game finally.
Now, if I remember correctly, that's Vinny's favorite Castlevania, right?
Yes.
I've heard him say that on the podcast.
Yeah. Vinny over on GiantBomb.com has played through a lot of Castlevania games for the Vinnyvania series, and he has always talked up Rondo quite a bit. And from what I played, you know, I played like three stages of it on the Wii U. It seems fucking awesome. The music. Oh, man, Castlevania music. Like, when I talk about Castlevania being cool, it's that whole setting, and, like, the music is just awesome. The music was so good on NES. Like, the NES was so limited with what it could do. But with a game that had, you know, composers that could really utilize that stuff, like Mega Man is a classic for that. Yeah, obviously, Mario and Zelda had great, you know, Nintendo themes and everything. But, like, something about, like, Mega Man and Castlevania, when I think of, like, NES, just badass music.
Totally.
Like, they... And then as consoles went on and tech advanced, like, you know, when you can do more with orchestral versions of this stuff, it's just like, oh, man, these themes sound even better. Like, which I... one thing I want to talk about with this show is... I associate Castlevania with music so much that I kept kind of waiting. Like, every time they were building up to, like, a big fight, I was like, oh, come on, let me hear some fucking Castlevania music. But the show does not – first of all, this is a Netflix show. We watched all of season one, which, you know, it's like four episodes that are like 23 minutes
long.
It's
really short watch.
Very short, but let's just say right off the bat here, I think really good.
Oh, my God, it was so good.
Yes, I loved
it. So good.
But I do kind of appreciate that they don't beat you over the head with the video game stuff. Like, it is Dracula. It is Trevor Belmont. It is actually kind of just the story of Castlevania 3 on NES, at least the setup for it. We'll talk about what happens at the end, which kind of mixes some stuff up in a cool way. But I kept waiting for that music. And actually, as I was getting my notes together for this podcast, I just went to YouTube to pull up one of my favorite Castlevania tracks, Bloody Tears. It's one of the most famous ones. And I didn't look too much, so I didn't get super spoiled. I don't know the context, but I think we might hear it in season two, which I'm going to also spoil a little thing here and say that that's going to be next week's thing. We do want to keep watching this show. So I think I might get to hear Bloody Tears in season two, which sounds fucking awesome.
Now, Dan, I know you're not privy to vampire culture.
No.
But is that an accepted characteristic of vampires, like how they're averse to garlic and steaks and crosses, that they cry tears of blood?
I don't know. You know, and when it comes to, like, vampire stuff, as kind of cool as I think Castlevania is, and how much I like the movie Bram Stoker's Dracula with, like, Gary Oldman and Keanu Reeves, I think it's a really, really cool movie. I haven't taken in a ton of, like, vampire fiction. Leslie Nielsen's Dracula, Dead and Loving It, I saw in the theaters.
Well, did you know, and I could be wrong here, but did you know that the world is a vampire?
I have heard that, yes. Yes, I've heard that through very nasal voices.
So this show, I kind of went in expecting it to be... mediocre because of all the other video game influenced media I have consumed in my life. It had, you know, made me think that way.
Notoriously terrible history. Going back to, like, you know, Super Mario Brothers, the movie, and stuff like that.
I mean, what are there any good video game Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. Okay. Actually, yes, Mortal Kombat is looked at. Well, no, you saw Annihilation,
That's the one I saw, and that was, like, offensively terrible. Like, that made me angry. Like, we watch a lot of shitty things for Painting the Stream, but that made me angry that I was wasting my time. Like, that, I feel like that abused my time.
You see, I love it, though, because I'm just such a dork for, like, dumb Mortal Kombat lore, because I love those characters and just how it takes its story super seriously, but also super not at all, and it's super stupid. Yeah. So, like, Annihilation was kind of, like, right up my alley when it came out. Like, I knew it was a bad movie, but I just like seeing, like, oh, it's Cyrax, cool. And, you know, he shows up for 2 seconds, does some dumb thing, and disappears. But yeah, the first Mortal Kombat is actually kind of looked at as one of the best, you know, video game to movie / TV adaptations ever.
That doesn't say much, though.
No, it doesn't. I remember thinking the Doom movie was not terrible. I thought it was kind of fun in a stupid way. I think there's, like, a boss fight against The Rock at the end, which is really stupid. There's a whole extended first-person sequence that's really stupid.
I remember seeing that, and I remember actually kind of enjoying it in, like, a, you know, for what it was. But do you remember, I think it was the early 2000s, I think it was probably like 2003 or something, but that Final Fantasy, The Spirit Within movie, I remember seeing that, and commercials for that, and thinking, like, Oh my gosh, graphics cannot get better than
yes.
this.
I remember, because that got a lot of coverage in like EGM and Game Informer and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I subscribed to all those. And so I read about this movie a ton, even though I didn't see it. And they would have like full page, I don't know if it was EGM, it might have been, but it was a full page thing of like this old man's face.
Right.
Just to show like the fidelity of how real it was going to look. And I had the same feeling. I was like, holy shit, like you can't look like that. It looks like someone's face.
I remember thinking that too. Like it cannot get better from here.
But I also thought that, let me tell you the times I have thought that video game graphics could never get better. The first time I played Mortal Kombat, the first one, because I was like, oh, these are real people. You can't get more real than real.
Right.
The first time I played Mario 64, I was like, well, okay, we peaked. And then also when I saw the intro to the first Tekken on the first PlayStation, I was like, oh man, it can't look better than this.
I remember when we were kids, one of my brother's friends came over with his PlayStation, and we were always Sega people, so we didn't have the PlayStation, but they played Resident Evil, and it has that FMV cutscene in the beginning.
That's awesome.
And I remember watching that, and it was like, oh my god, there's real people on TV. Mm-hmm. It cannot get better than this.
Yeah, I love that intro with, like, the Wesker, and he's, like, you know, fixing his hair with the sunglasses, and oh, it's fucking awesome.
That came. Remember when we played the remake a few years ago?
So fun.
I can't wait till the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Yeah, the first one's gonna be on Switch. That remake.
Oh.
So I will play through that again, I think. But RE2 remake, I played with E3, and that's awesome.
Mm-mm.
So
it's really good.
But yeah, Castlevania, were we on the way to talking about something, or are we? Oh, we were talking about just video game to movie terribly.
Right.
Yeah, like at best, I think these things are okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think that new Tomb Raider movie people said was like not offensively bad, but
the Angelina Jolie one?
Yeah, like those were successful.
You know what I think it is too? I think the quality of video game writing is getting so much better. So if there are, and obviously this is a really old game that this is based on, so I'm not necessarily addressing Castlevania, but I think when there are video game to movie adaptations in the future, I think, you know, maybe there, and also when you consider the demographic of people that play video games now, like everyone plays video games now. So people that are really good writers might feel like, oh, I can make something out of this, rather than just like people that are into video games thinking I can make something out of this.
Yeah.
See though.
I think the thing is, I think most of the time it's unnecessary because games can be so cinematic now.
Oh, that, Dan, like, does the movie industry care about what's necessary or not?
No, not at all. But I mean, like, I guess I'm saying why I am never really interested in this stuff is because, like, well, okay, I just played Red Dead Redemption and that is extremely cinematic and like, you know, incredible voice acting and cinematography and directing and all that stuff. Like, I don't need to see this like 60-hour game condensed into a bad 2-hour version.
Right.
You know, and people have talked about the Metal Gear Solid movie for forever. It's like, I don't need that.
Right.
Those are like a bunch of games with tons of story in them, and like, I don't want to see them all crunched into some, like, you know, palatable for the mainstream audiences, you know, 2-hour movie or something.
Well,
I just don't need it. I'll see it.
I'm sure it's not going to be Metal Gear Solid. It'll probably be something like a Fortnite movie starring Rihanna or something in like a year.
No.
So, like, right. How are you going to make story out of that? But they did that with like fucking Risk. Didn't they make a Risk movie? Oh, no.
Battleship.
Battleship. Yeah,
that was Battleship, it. Yeah. Like, again, any of these things could happen, whether or not they're good ideas or if I'll ever be interested. Which is why, you know, I think you were talking about, you know, thinking Castlevania was going to be mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
I like Castlevania a lot, but it's not necessarily for the story. The setting, yes. Mm-hmm. I like the setting and the characters, but like, the story is usually just like a text thing at the beginning, like, oh, shit's bad, Dracula, Belmonts, kill him, you know, and then like you ride a horse up to a gate and then go in and start fucking stuff up, you know? But yeah, they were able to take this cool ass setting of Castlevania and even taking the basic setup of Castlevania 3 and turning it into this, like, you know, it's basically like the first season's like movie length if you just watch it beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And it just tells a really cool story.
Totally.
So it's set in, like, Wallachia, which I have no idea if that's a real place, in the 1400s. And I love the setup, specifically the first episode, I think, is awesome. Because we don't even really meet Trevor until the very end of it. Mm-hmm. It's all about Dracula. And that's actually the only one we see Dracula in. And he's got this love, Lisa. Yeah, Lisa is this girl who wants to be a doctor. And so she's like, oh, they're afraid of you because they don't understand you.
I love how it's Dracula and some chick named Lisa.
Yeah, Dracula and Lisa, yeah. she wants to, like, teach science to the peasants and be like, oh, you don't have to be afraid of Dracula. And they, like, humanize Dracula in a cool way. He's just this, like, lonely, you know, creepy dude in a castle.
Humanize him in some – he has, like, a bunch of people impaled in the front lawn.
Okay, well, outside of that, it's like they kind of make you, like, feel for him. Like, oh, man, like, all these people are afraid of him, but they don't take the time to understand him or anything. And – And then she tries to teach them. She's like, all right, see you, Dracula. I'm going to go teach the peasants science. Smash cut to burned at stake.
Yep.
Just like instantly, like we are of that era. What was the deal with Joan of Arc? Why was she burned?
Oh, she cut her hair too short? I have no idea.
I don't know anything if that was the same era. I don't know if that was the
1400s. Is that even a real woman? I thought it was a fictional thing.
I think Joan of Arc is real.
She's a religious figure, right?
I don't think so.
I don't know anything, Dan. I don't.
I'm glad that you have the same instinct I do to, like, not at all pretend to understand something or know something that we don't know. It's like, we just...
I know about so few things, and Joan of Arc is not one of them.
I know video games and wrestling. Turns out Joan of Arc is not part of either of those. I do think she's a real person, though.
So, okay. So, Lisa's getting burned at the stake because, yes, I guess one of these bishops or something found, you know, science vials, what do you call them?
Yeah, science vials. Beakers or whatever.
Okay,
yeah.
Beakers. Graduated cylinders. And
Bunsen burners.
And thought that she was, you know, this is witchcraft, yeah, or whatever. I guess, I mean, this stuff was happening, right? I think.
People definitely got burned at the stake.
People got burned at the stake. And that seems like such a fucking brutal way to go.
Yeah, and like, again, not really knowing much about the situation. I think a lot of it was revolved around the church and heretics and suspected witches and stuff like that back in the, like, I don't know what the Dark Ages are, or what, if that's the same as medieval times or if that's before or after the Renaissance.
I feel like, and this is a controversial statement, but I feel like religion is the source of a lot of grief for humanity.
Yes, and that is definitely the main antagonist in this show, is like the bad guys are just straight up the church and the bishops. And
right. And although, you know, obviously Dracula is an antagonist as well, but he is made very sympathetic. And I feel like his actions are to an extent justified. I mean, you feel for the people getting their babies torn in half and stuff, but it's all in the name of love. It's
justified.
So romantic. He's romantic. Fucking,
okay, he fucks that city up. He is,
but
like,
Dan,
fire tornadoes.
It's in the name of love.
I know,
it's so sweet.
But not
he's
all
a man
of those
of passion.
Those were innocent people, by and large. I mean, I know he's pissed at the church.
But
rightfully,
any one of those innocent people could have stopped that from happening. If they banded together, come on, the bishop would have no power.
I would have to say that Dracula went to extremes in his anger.
Maybe he went a little extreme, but I have to say, as a woman, I mean, if someone did that for me, I mean, I would be dead.
Oh,
but it would be greatly appreciated.
I mean, I will certainly seek justice for you if anything happens, but I cannot, like, make my vision appear in the form of bats above Manhattan.
All right, I just want you to do your best. Maybe if that means, you know, capturing my killer and skinning him alive.
I would like to bring him to justice.
And feeding him skin. Scooping out his eyeball with an ice cream scooper, freezing it, and then using it in a martini.
I think I'm just going to have to work with law enforcement and try to bring them to justice throughout the judicial
system.
Slicing
his penis into four little equal things, so then he has a weird, and then like putting like a fucking piece of fruit in the middle there, and then so his little schlong pieces grow around and envelop this piece of fruit. I don't know. You could get really creative. There are endless ways.
I'll talk to the cops and see what my options are if it comes to that. But, let's hope we don't come to that. Mm. Okay.
I don't want to get murdered.
I don't want you to get murdered either.
I feel like I probably will.
Because your mom just constantly watch these shows about people getting murdered, like these documentary shows.
You know, it's a thing that happens quite frequently.
A lot of people have been murdered, yes, but I think it might be disproportionate. Like the amount you watch it and the amount it happens might be disproportionate.
But I feel like I'm constantly walking alone in my life. I walk alone.
It's true. It's true. You're like Batista's theme song.
Okay, Castlevania.
All right,
so he is obviously very upset that his wife's getting burnt at the stake, and then manifests in this big fire face and says, "You guys are fucked in a year. I'll give you a year to, I don't know, get out." What is
he's just like, take your marks out, take your marks from upon the land, like basically just get the fuck out. Like, I think take down your cities or whatever. But he's like causing these like nightly raids of demons that are just
correct me if I'm wrong, but then the demon raids don't start until the year has passed. They have that year, and then at the year end anniversary, the guy's like, "Oh, see, we're fine, nothing happened." And then that's when the fucking demons come from the sky and it rains blood. Remember?
Yeah, I guess I didn't think that there was that big of a time gap, because
it was
this
a year.
Well, okay. Well, then what happens is the stuff with, at the end of this first episode, we meet Trevor Belmont in a bar. Is that supposed to be a year later? Because, like, the second episode starts with him in that bar.
No, I feel like when that happens, because then I remember he's looking for food, and that's when he goes into the town and meets everyone. But because remember Dracula's like, I'll give you a year to do all the shit.
I do remember that.
And then they're all in the town square celebrating, like, oh, it's been a year and nothing's happened.
Right, and that's when the, like, old bishop, archbishop guy is there and, like, shit really goes.
Yeah, and he gets super killed.
Yes, every, like, a lot of people get super killed.
Yeah, and then I think, and then the beginning of the second episode has, we meet Trevor then?
Well, no, so we meet him at the end of the first episode.
Is that when that bar scene is?
Yeah, it kind of is bookended. Like, it's the end of episode one and the beginning of episode two. Mm. The beginning of episode two is the fight with him and the drunks, who are like, hey, okay, we don't like the Belmonts, and they see the crest, and he just, like, fucks them up. Or wait, no. Does he? No, he gets kicked in the nuts.
He gets fucked up, but he also does some fucking of his own.
All right.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It was all consensual. It's an unexpected twist. But I like him, though, because it shows that he's not this, like, you know, stereotypical, always has his shit together hero. Like, he's flawed in his way. Just like the antagonist is sympathetic, he is a flawed protagonist.
Yeah, he is kind of a hothead, you know.
Drunk.
Drunk. He is definitely the protagonist and, I guess, hero so far of what we've seen here, and definitely fighting on the right side for this season.
Right.
But you're right. But yeah, I just wonder when the time jump is, because we do, from that bar fight, we see him venturing into the city and being like, man, this place is fucked. Like, all these heads on pikes and these babies stolen from the cribs and all that stuff. So, I'm not really sure when all that stuff happens.
Well, it doesn't matter. But
yeah,
it happens.
It's all cool. He meets this elder in the alley, and there are these two dudes from the church, and he just fucks them up. He, like, whips the finger off one of them. He whips the eye out of another one.
Wait a minute. Set it up a little better than that, Dan. He's not just going around beating up random people. These are, like, clergymen or priests or whatever, and they are taking one of the seekers, I guess the elder seeker, which is this...
I thought it was speaker.
Oh, speaker?
Yeah, I think you're like right. Speaking. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, speakers. And I guess they, according to the bishops and stuff, they're blaming the speakers for all the shit that's happening, even though it's actually their fault. So they're capturing the elder guy, I assume to make him leave or kill him or something.
Yeah.
But then Trevor comes and beats the shit out of them in a really awesome way. There's a lot of, like, eye popping and stuff.
Yeah, and the whip stuff. Like, I was wondering how many of, like, the trademark items and sub weapons of Castlevania would be in this. And, like, you definitely get the daggers, you get the whip. There's holy water later on. The axe. I think a lot of them make appearances, but it's not the, like, hey, remember this from the video game? And here's the sound effect. Like, it's just, like, used very smartly and subtly.
If you didn't know this was about a video game, you could enjoy it just the same.
Oh, totally. Yeah. But yeah, he just whips the fuck out of these dudes. Mm-hmm. And the violence is. This is a gory show.
Yeah, it's very well done. I mean, compared to The Night Comes for Us, it's very tasteful. But I was surprised. That was one of the things that made me realize this isn't like a show that's kid-friendly. It's very gruesome.
Yeah, a lot of cursing. It never feels that forced or anything. Like, Trevor feels like the type of character who would probably cuss a lot. And,
right.
But the violence, yeah, like, there's those parts where, like, things are just descending upon the city and all that shit's happening, where we were just like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he saves this elder. He kind of learns about the speakers. There's 11 of them, and they just kind of like study the history of Wallachia and all this stuff. And they kind of, not quite scientists and definitely not priests or anything, but they're just trying to like inform people and study.
They wear big robes.
Yeah. And yeah, the church hates them because they're basically speaking truth and science and stuff like that.
But they refuse to leave because they want to help the people there.
Yes. And they also have heard, like, they know that, you know, the city is in these dire straits right now, but there's this legend of like a messiah that sleeps underneath the city. And the elder's granddaughter, disguised as a man, went down into the catacombs in search of this messiah. But the elder's like, oh, she's totally dead. Can you just go, like, get her body? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that brings us into episode 3, which starts right off with Trevor's down there and just right away encounters this fucking giant Cyclops monster thing that's just shooting lasers and shit. Like, this is some real video game stuff here that I liked a lot.
Yeah, that was really cool. Real quick, I think it's worth specifying that the prophecy about that, you know, messiah in the catacombs is actually about the future. It's like a prophecy and not like a legend, like this guy had been here for, you know, had saved us before.
Right. It's like, hey, this is the guy that can help this situation. Like, there is prophecy, a revelation of this guy that will save us. So we need to, he's our one hope, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Cyclops is turning everyone to stone.
Yeah. And real cool fight. There's some stuff where, like, he's whipping the dagger and, like, using it like a fucking mace. And he does, like, an AJ Styles kick and kicks the fucking dagger into the eye of the Cyclops. And it's just...
If you are weird about eye stuff, even in cartoon form, I might watch this with blinders on or something.
Yeah, that knife goes right into that big old eyeball.
Yeah.
It was really cool. There's a lot of eye stuff in the Castlevania games. There's a bunch of enemies that are just like a floating eye with like a tail on it.
I heard you saying on the Beastcast the other day that you like eye bosses.
Yeah, like in Zelda and stuff. Like, I don't know. I just think it's a cool looking thing.
There was that eye boss in Dead Cells too. Remember
that
one?
Oh, you're right. The big one.
The sewer one.
It's kind of around like the middle of the game, right? Mm-hmm. And he makes the little things come out of the ground.
Yeah.
That was a pretty easy one, I thought.
Yeah, that was super easy.
Yeah, compared to the other shit in Dead Cells. Yeah. So yeah, he kills the Cyclops and like the granddaughter comes back to life. And actually all these other corpses that have fallen to the Cyclops presumably start coming back to life, but it's like a decapitated
body.
They just
get soft again. They don't really come to life. It's like a head that's already been decapitated. So
yeah.
The body like gets soft and then just slouches.
I think the granddaughter even like looks at it when it's happening. It's like, oh boy, let's get out of here. Right, what's the granddaughter's name? Did you catch that?
Yeah, it is Silpha.
Silpha?
Yeah.
Okay, and she becomes kind of a big character in the end here.
Yeah, she's very cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's kind of like this magic, you know, mage.
She's
you know,
a mage, but we don't know that at this point.
Right. We just know she's this granddaughter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we also learn that was actually the basement of Dracula's castle. That wasn't just the catacombs. Mm-hmm. So Trevor's explaining that to the speakers and everything. But then we learn that, like, the church is going to kill all the speakers before the next night raid. And they also say, like, Trevor, you have to leave tonight. Like, I think this is when they, like, encounter him in this building. And he does this sweet escape where he, like, does this fucking multi-dagger throw and kills a bunch. And then pulls this booby trap thing so the whole house collapses on him. Yeah. It's like, fuck you, dudes. And then he just goes and kills a bunch of them. Love that scene.
And then that's when he's running away. And then Silpha does her awesome maid shit and, like, helps him. And then that's also when he essentially talks to that one priest guy who's like instructing everyone to kill him, and then he like kind of reveals the truth that the bishops were behind all this shit and it isn't the seekers or the speakers,
right? Like the church knows that this is all on them,
right? And then so after that all the common people start attacking this priest guy and kind of take Trevor's side.
Yeah, totally. And then we get into the last episode here, which I love the start of it. Like that one bishop guy, not the archbishop, because the archbishop super died. But this like super evil, like
the
all
one
the
who
shots.
Oversaw the staking, the burning at the stake of the wife.
Yeah, he
or
is.
Or the staking, as I will call him.
Yes, delicious staking. but yeah, they always just frame this guy in like red light, just just like super evil, obviously, dude. Which, God, the first fucking scene of this last episode is this six-eyed fucking demon wolf thing comes in and talks to the guy for a little bit, and he's like, oh, give me a kiss. And then he grabs the dude's head and just like eats his head. Like, we don't see it clearly. We just see like a waterfall of blood coming down onto the floor. It's like, oh, he's fucked.
Yeah, like, super fucked.
That was
a really cool scene.
You know I'm big on in movies and TV.
Subtlety? Nuance?
Subtlety, yes.
Metaphor?
No, I like seeing bad guys get fucked up. Yes, you and do. This show has a lot of that. Like, I'm not just like violence for violence sake. Like when, like there's the part where all the innocent people are dying and stuff when Dracula's fucking things up and I'm like, oh man, this is fucked up. But I get some sort of visceral thrill when it's like this scene where it's like, oh man, that dude's head just got
for
eaten.
Sure.
Or anytime Arnold killed anybody in any movie and then said something cool. It's like, ah, oh, fuck yeah. So yeah, that guy's head is gone. And then there's like this big dude, that works for the church. He's like kind of their main heavy. He's this bearded dude in a robe that we've seen several times. Mm-hmm. And Trevor is about to fight him. They're acting like there's this big like fire circle that
this is
Silk
what I was
used.
Just talking about.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then he does the speech about, you know, you're the reason why
right.
this is happening.
And then that's when he gets the peasants and everything to turn on him. And so like it builds up this big like, oh, we're gonna have a fight in the middle of this like circle of fire or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, nope, pitchforks to the neck, yeah. Fucking axes and daggers.
Oh my gosh,
and
he's stabbed in so many directions.
Yes, he gets super duper killed.
It's I don't know what to compare it to. What do you think? Some kind of
Passion of the Christ? I don't know.
He was kebabbed? I don't know.
Yeah, there's just a lot of sharp things going into that dude's squishy flesh, and he's super dead. And then, yeah, we get this kind of like big, like holy water salt war thing. Like they're, I don't know, what do they call it when they like put like a holy thing on a blade or a whip? Consecrate? Is that it?
Sure.
I'm not sure. I think he says it at some point, like, oh, the whip has been consecrated with, you know, salt or whatever.
Yeah, and Trevor is, like, instructing... Trevor seems like a very good military man because he's, like, instructing everyone exactly where to go. He seems very strategically minded and knows how to deal with these demons. And they kind of make short work of the first wave that come.
Yeah, they use this strategic thing where, like, they make these ice walls. And then he has Sopha, like, close this ice door behind it. And then he just fucking whips the shit out of all these demons and, like, cuts them in half and they're blown up. I think, isn't there one point where like the demon says some demon thing like, oh, you'll never survive, and he just whips him in the fucking head and splits his head in two, and then he blows up in fire or something.
And there's the one where the big demon that killed the bishop was running after them, running after Trevor and Silva, and then Silva just turns around and just has this fucking giant shard of ice emerge from the ground and just like impale him.
Yeah,
it's really brutal.
Yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, really, really cool protagonist here. It's really cool seeing Silpha's abilities kind of shine here at the end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then Trevor and Silpha go down into the catacombs.
They kind
again.
Of fall down there.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're like, well, let's find this Messiah dude. And this is one of the subtle things. There are several subtle nods to the show or the games I like a lot. Uh-huh. Like they're going through all these things where it's like big gears and things like that.
Right.
And that's definitely a staple in the Castlevania games. You're always jumping on these fucking gears and timing the platforming and everything. And it's, again, it's not hitting you in the face with it. And if you just stumbled upon this on Netflix and watched it and you've never played a video game in your life, nothing feels out of place.
Right.
But for those that like the games, it's like, oh, fuck yeah. Okay, this thing.
Right.
Like the holy water. I was
for
just
sure.
Like, that's my favorite sub-weapon. It's like, oh, fuck yeah.
Before you get into what's about to happen, because it's a really big scene, I just want to say that scene when Silva and Trevor are falling down and they just keep saving each other, I just thought that was so cool.
Oh, yeah, where it's like she grabs him and then she like does some magic thing to kind of like
he
soften
like,
it.
Yeah, like he whips her so she could come closer to him and they were holding each other and then she does that like air thing and then they fall again at some point. I love that shit.
Yeah, this is a... Man, this is a cool fucking show.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And actually, it ends in a really cool way, too, because they meet this Messiah. They get down into this area, and there's this big coffin, and this, you know, really thin dude with no shirt kind of floats out of it, and...
Looks like any guitar player for a black metal band in the early 90s.
Yes. And so my thought when they, because obviously this is going to be an important character and it seems like he might be an ally, might not. I was like, is this Alucard? Because, you know, Alucard is the one I've played as the most, with Symphony being the game I've played so many times. But like, I feel like Alucard has always been shown with like more silvery hair.
Right.
And so my thought was like, well, everything else kind of fits, but he's not wearing like the cloak. You know, he doesn't have, he's got more blonde hair in the show. And so I wasn't sure.
Right.
And so we have this big, cool fight between Trevor and Alucard. Mm-hmm. And well, the mystery man. So it's kind of a drawn out thing that like, it's cool. Like I love the way that they animate fights in the show and like, it's a lot of like swords against whips and stuff like that. And it's just, it's good. It's all really good. And then at the end, the mystery man kind of has the number of Trevor, but then Trevor, he's kind of like perched over him and Trevor says something like, oh, I just hope your guts don't stain my whatever.
My cloak, I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably that.
Yeah. And it turns out he had like put a stake into this mystery guy because he thinks he's a vampire. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you're fucked. And then the mystery guy is like, oh, wait, she's a scholar. You're a hunter. Oh, yeah. The prophecy said that a hunter and a scholar would meet and then we can do this thing. And that's when he introduces himself. He is Alucard.
Right.
It's Dracula backwards.
He heals his wounds immediately because he's a mystical guy.
Yeah, he does the T-1000 thing. And then he puts on the cloak. And so, I mean, that was the closest thing to a, like, fan service-y thing. But, like, it worked so well. And it seems important because I have to imagine that season two.
When you say cloak, do you mean his I'm about to shoot up a school jacket? Because that,
yes, that's his trench coat mafia thing. Yes, he puts that on.
So he is half human, half vampire.
Yes, yes.
And frankly, he seemed more vampire to me. I mean, he was sleeping in a coffin.
And floating and regenerating wounds and stuff
I mean,
like
how
that.
Once you're a full vampire, like, how much vampire is that? Because that already seemed like a lot of vampire to me.
More vampire than vampire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if his mom is supposed to be that Lisa from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that either.
Does that even make sense? Like, if it's a year.
Well, do vampires have some special... Do they grow super fast or something?
I don't really know. They can live for fucking ever.
Well, I know he was laying in those catacombs for a year because he asked what year it is. And then he's like, I came here a year earlier. I assume he's probably been around for like hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah, because like Dracula's been around forever. And so like I'm sure he's had many women he's loved and have died and stuff like that. Right. So yeah, he's got to be from a previous tryst of Dracula's or something.
Okay. yeah, so he's, then they have this really cool scene where they all walk towards the camera, and, like, you're a sucker for enemies dying in really cool ways, or, like, the main villain dying in cool ways. I'm a sucker for, like, all the badass people that are about to do some serious shit, like, walking towards the camera.
Yes.
I love that.
Did you like it in
MacGruber? Slow-mo walking.
Did you like it in MacGruber when all the wrestlers were walking with him right before they all got blown up in a van?
Oh, call the cops!
Are you okay? But anyway, yes, that is a really cool shot with them all walking at the camera at the end. And it really, I think when we, like halfway through this, when we realized that we were liking it a lot, I was thinking like, oh, we'll have to do season two sometime for Painting the Stream. But then the way this season ends with that, it's just like, all right, that's like the setup. Now we've got Alucard on our team and we're all like going to face Dracula. Who knows if, you know, I don't know if they're doing multiple seasons of this show, so I'm not necessarily expecting it all to be concluded at the end of season two, you know, with Dracula dying at the end or something. But I'm looking forward to seeing where things go. So yeah, next week we're definitely going to do Castlevania season two.
I look forward to it, Reichert.
Yes.
I very much enjoyed this first season.
I did too. So tune in next week for Castlevania season two. Before we go, we have to, of course, thank the people who participate in
thank
our listener
so
support program. It's a program where you go to paintingthestream.com, you click support this podcast. You can help us out $1, $5, or $10 a month. You can also cancel whenever. You can just do it once if you want to and then cancel. Mm-hmm. It's super easy. It's all secure and easy to do.
Now, Daniel, I would like to single out one individual who donated to us.
Yes,
may
please.
I?
Yes.
His name is Dan. It's not you.
No, it is not.
It's not my brother, Dan.
No, this is an unknown Dan.
Not Danny O'Dwyer. This is a random Dan.
We can confirm that it is not any Dan we know.
It's not any Dan that we know. It's a random guy who thought it would be a nice thing to donate to us. And
friend of the show.
Friend of the show. And I wrote a little haiku for him. Mr. Reichert, if you don't mind, I would like to share it.
The microphone's yours, yes.
A nice gift from Dan for all the streams we had panned. I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it. Isn't it 575?
Oh, it is 58.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Could you just do appreciate
this is just a poem.
It? You could just say appreciate it.
Okay. Okay. Appreciate it.
Or if you want to do the apostrophe, appreciate it, man, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Dan, assume that we said appreciate
it,
man.
Should I do it again with the edited
do
last
it.
Line?
Okay. Yeah.
A nice gift from Dan for all the streams we had panned. Appreciate it, man.
There you go.
There you go, Dan.
There you go, Dan. Thanks
little
for,
haiku for you.
Thanks for helping us out and helping keep the lights on here at Panning the Stream. Which, for anyone out there, if you got feedback, you can follow us at Pan the Stream on Twitter. You can email us at panningthestream@gmail.com.
Please do.
Any suggestions, any kind of recommendations.
It's always so fun when we get an email from someone.
It is.
It's like opening up a little treasure box.
Yes, and we read them all. And apologies if it takes us a little bit to respond to it, but we definitely see them all. And a lot of our shows have come about strictly because of recommendations. So thank you for those.
I don't know about you, Dan, but sometimes I forget that people actually like listen to this.
Yes, they do. It's
and
a podcast.
It's just so cool that people take the time to do that. So
yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's just been fun seeing it grow and again, like, yeah, I do a lot of podcasts and stuff that have, yes, like, huge audiences and stuff. And so it's kind of a, you take it for granted. But when you're trying to build something from the ground up, mm-hmm, it's really interesting trying to build that, like fighting from the bottom, you know, to gain viewers and to get a fan base and stuff like that. And we have seen it grow every week. So we have way more listeners now than we did at the beginning. I'd like to think that, you know, we're in a good spot with, like, audio quality and format and things like that. Mm-hmm. So please let us know. Email us or tweet at us, any kind of suggestions. Oh, speaking of suggestions,
did you have
a suggestion this week? I know we wanted to leave a option for suggesting things to folks.
Okay. I didn't prepare one, so I'm just going to improvise here.
Okay.
I recommend or suggest Red Zinger Tea Celestial Seasonings.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite teas. It goes well with anything. It's got a kick to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fruity. It's got hibiscus. It's very red. It looks like you're drinking blood. If you're into vampire stuff, maybe you'd be into that as well. And it's really cheap. Celestial Seasonings, I feel like, is always on sale for $2.49 at ShopRite.
Oh.
So get yourself a box and let me know what you think.
All right. I guess mine will be, we last night just did a thing where we did a pizza making class.
Oh, yeah. That was so fun.
Yeah. And that just came about because I was like, oh, I wonder what's a fun thing we could just do. And I went to like Groupon and just like, okay, what's available in the city?
Mm.
And we went and it was a 2-hour thing where we got to sit down and we learned how to make a pizza from scratch. I got to learn about yeast and see it in action.
Yep.
And then we made a pizza and then we ate it.
It
was good.
It was great.
It was good.
A lot of fun.
But now we know how to make a pizza.
Yeah. I strongly recommend it if you're ever looking for something fun to do on the weekend with your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, or your friends.
Yeah. Just look up reviews on something in your area. You know, obviously we can't suggest like the one specific one for everyone that we did in New York, but I'm sure you can find that anywhere. And yeah, give it a try.
Yeah. Do it.
It's fun.
Do it to it.
All right, that'll be it for this week. I want to go ahead and thank Tom Monda for the theme song.
Thanks, bro. He's on tour right now. Thank you, Scientist.
Yes, go check him out.
And Coheed and Cambria.
Ooh, check them out in your city if they swing by. And thanks for listening, everyone. Drop us a review on iTunes if you're enjoying the show. And certainly watch Castlevania Season 2 on Netflix if you want to join us next week and hear us talk about that one. So, Bianca?
Yes, my love.
Thank you most of all for joining me. Well, I guess you did the intro. Do you want to wrap us up here?
What do I say?
I don't know. Thanks for stuff.
Thanks for listening, and tune in next week to Panning the Stream.
Well, I thought you were going to thank me. I always thank you at the end of my...
Oh, thanks to Dan.
Oh,
me? We'll see you next week for Panning the Stream.
Wait, are you talking about listener support, Dan, or are you talking about me?
You.
Oh, okay. Great.
I feel like I thank listener support Dan enough.
Okay, you give him two different haikus. Well, pretty much the same. All right, but I give my own thank you. Thanks, honey.
All right, I love you.
All right.
Well, I guess I'll go now. Bye.
Bye, folks.